Richard and Julie with you. As Julie mentioned, Quebec moves to ban cell phones in most public school classrooms. It's our question of the day at CJOB.com. And a researcher on the issue joins us live in 1 hour. The education debate, those trying to reduce poverty serve up meals today based on what a member of the Manitoba Legislative Assembly could afford versus someone on assistance. That story at 4:20. Later in the hour, the new hotel builds. Then it's the space race. Good to have you with us this Wednesday afternoon. We begin with that lawsuit launched to hold the Festival des Voyageurs and the City of Winnipeg accountable. And for many families and students at St. John's Ravenscourt, May 18th changed their lives. Fort Gibraltar, the collapse there. Troy Hardwood-Jones is a lawyer involved in the legal action, and he joins us live on 680 CJOB. Mr. Hardwood-Jones, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Richard.
Who do you represent? I'm not interested in names here, but can you give us a sense of the number of parents and who you actually represent in this?
We only act for one family. It's our understanding that the child of this family is the most seriously injured child who was affected by the incident when the elevated walkway collapsed. And that's our interest at this point. This child has obviously had severe injury, and the family's been through a lot.
Absolutely. We recall that day, obviously, here and learning of this situation unfolding and trying to get that confirmed and continuing to track the story. And my gut reaction to this, once we knew the situation in terms of deaths were not going to happen, I immediately thought of a class action lawsuit. Is that still a possibility?
I understand that there were a number of other children who were injured, and obviously those families and children have been damaged as well. At this point, we don't act for any class. I suspect there are a number of families who will be watching this lawsuit and wanting to see how it resolves. Obviously, our hope is that the city and Festival des Voyageurs take responsibility and do the right thing by this family and anyone else who has been injured.
Can you give us a sense of the injuries that the child suffered?
So the child, fell 20 feet and sustained a fracture to hip and to wrist. Was rushed to the hospital and was operated on. Surgery was performed, and it's likely that additional surgeries will be required. The full magnitude of the physical and psychological damage is not yet known. Obviously, it's relatively early at this point, and it's likely that there will be long-term injuries, but we will have to wait and see. Obviously, the family is hoping for a full recovery, but at this point, we know with a fractured hip, there is a chance that the child will be permanently disabled in their ability to walk.
Does the child require assistance now, and will the child be able to return to school this fall?
So currently the child has left the hospital and is at home. There are some issues with respect to residing at home. I understand there's still some physical issues and there's still some limitations on movement. There's also, of course, as I mentioned, the sort of psychological side of this. Like many families, this family has a two-story home, and they've expressed to me that they have had to relocate their child from the second floor of their home to another place to sleep. And once again, hopefully this is a temporary thing. Obviously, they're providing all the sort of medical and psychological therapeutic support that they can to their child. But as I say, we're going to need a little time to get a sense of the full magnitude of the damage to the child and, of course, the family as they cope with this significant change.
Can you explain the nub of the lawsuit in the sense that it all stems from a duty of care by both the City of Winnipeg and Festival Voyageurs, and again, This is still a statement of claim. None of these allegations have been proven in court, but the nub of the lawsuit.
Exactly. It is a relatively straightforward matter. There's a statute which is occupier's liability, and it essentially stands for the idea that if you own a property or if you have a premises, as it's called, and somebody gets injured on your premises due to your carelessness, neglect, then you're responsible. And from our view, and as you say, relatively early days, but it seems pretty clear to us that there shouldn't be a dispute at the city or festival, and we don't know who's responsible for what, but either the city or Festival de Voyageur or both of them clearly failed to provide a safe in premises for this child and for the other children who were harmed.
Does it matter if, for example, the city says, listen, we simply rent out the site. Once it's rented, we don't enter the site for any reason. It's rented. For example, many of us rent things out to other people. Is this a cautionary tale, I'm wondering? You know, if you rent out your house or if a car rental company rents a car that causes a catastrophic collision that injures somebody, can it bounce back that way, even if they don't have care and control of the site at the time?
Yeah, that's a great question. And obviously, we don't know. We set out the claim how it seems fairly open and shut that this was a premises, there was liability, and there was obviously a duty of care and there was damages. Now, the city and Festival de Voyageur will each respond with a statement of defense. I don't know if either of them are going to essentially say, I'm not responsible, they're responsible. That's for them, and that's not really our issue. So our part, what we want is for the family to be able to secure the child's future by ensuring that the child has all of the resources to live a full life and as well to prevent this from happening to any other families in the future.
We've talked a lot about the physical injuries, touched a little bit on the psychological injuries, which, again, we're talking about young children involved here, grade 5, grade 6 students. So it is, as you say, going to take some time. Does the suit specify damages for those physical and psychological injuries? Money is the only way that you can do that, unfortunately.
Yes, the court does have limited means to help families in situations like this. And frequently, it's not a perfect tool, but the court uses money as a means to compensate. Obviously, if for this family, they have to modify their lives or they have mobility restrictions and there's cost associated with that in the future, then it would be only fair and reasonable that if the city or Festival de Voyageur are responsible for this, then the costs associated with that should be something borne by them and not by this family. In addition, obviously, the court does, in cases like this, they look at previous cases, and that would be part of our job to look at similar cases and see what the court has awarded for this kind of injury with this kind of child in this kind of circumstance. And then that's the best that we can do because, of course, there's no chart that says if this is what happens, this is what you get. So there's basically those two parts. There's the specific damages, the out-of-pocket, health care or disabled assistance expenses that the family incurs. And then there's general damages, which is the court's best guess that you deserve something for having sustained this kind of damage. And this is the best we can do, which is just award you a lump sum. Now, I should say this family does not want to litigate. This is how they have to proceed because they need to secure the future for this child. They don't want to litigate. They don't want to go to trial. They just need the city or Festival de Voyageur, whoever's responsible, to just step up and do the right thing.
Mr. Harwood-Jones, appreciate the time. Thanks so very much.
Okay, thank you.
He is the lawyer for one of the family, the child most severely injured in the Fort Gibraltar collapse in May, Troy Harwood-Jones.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.